Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Walt Leger, President and CEO of New Orleans & Company. Walt, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Noel. Always great to be with you.
Walt, I wanted to talk to you first about something that recently happened. We talk all the time about New Orleans is truly a city built to host, and it is. And one of the folks that I know that you worked with each and every day, Mike Sawaya, has announced his retirement from the Convention Center, but he moves to the Audubon Foundation. Your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I'm really excited for Mike. It's a great opportunity for him to continue to serve the community. Tremendous job at the Convention Center, which is a truly essential asset for our community. It brings in tens of millions of dollars of economic impact annually, hosting meetings, bringing people together, truly essential. But Audubon is also essential. I mean, this is a really important organization in our city, truly the foundation of a family life for many locals and many in the region, and of course, many visitors that come to our city, whether it's the zoo or the aquarium. And then, of course, they do so much other work that's not as outward facing, with endangered species and coastal restoration and protection efforts. It's a really great opportunity for Mike. He'll lead very well. Obviously, huge shoes to fill when you think about Ron Forman and his 53 years building that entity up. But I'm excited to see what Mike can do. And I understand that Ron will still be on board, providing a lot of guidance and leadership in the fundraising efforts as time goes on. So I think bright days ahead for Audubon.
Absolutely. I guess the Convention Center now goes through a hiring process or advertising process, trying to get someone to fill in for Mike, right?
Yeah, I'm confident there's going to be tremendous interest there. And this is one of the premier buildings in the country. Certainly, Mike has kicked off this massive $557 million reinvestment, renovation, upgrade effort, as well as the exciting work around the development of a headquarters hotel with Omni. I think there will be, the most talented people around will be interested in being a part of this community, of that facility, and of the future that we have laid out ahead of us. So a search will happen, and I'm certain there'll be a lot of interest. I'm certain there'll be some regional and local interest as well, and ultimately, I'm certain the board will come up with a fine leader that will take us into the next chapter of excellence at the Morial Convention Center.
I mean, you've interacted with folks in that position, you know, not only here but in other places. I have to imagine it's kind of a small community of people that do that, right?
There are certainly people out there that are experts in building and asset management that that probably cover various spheres, whether it's convention centers or stadiums or major venues. But there's also an element of sales and partnership that's necessary in a role like that at the convention center here in New Orleans. Our sales team works seamlessly with the sales team at the convention center. You want the convention center not only to be about operating an excellent building, but also about customer service and about salesmanship so that we can continue to attract these types of events. So you're looking for somebody with that level of expertise and excellence as it comes to managing a building and very, you know, from an operational standpoint, but also in partnering with an organization like ours so that we can continue to grow the pie for the whole community, not just for the things that happen at the convention center, but for things that happen throughout the community. So I'm excited to see what we've got. Mike was, was and will continue to be a tremendous partner to work with. And I'm excited to see what comes next.
Yeah. I think there's some doors that could open, you know, because of his experience in the convention, you know, in the Audubon landscape, right? I mean, it's another asset that you want as many visitors from out of state, out of town to come in and enjoy what they do, and they do well under Ron's leadership.
It's much like so many things in our community. Because of the fact that we're able to attract so many people to visit and to support entities like Audubon, much like our restaurants and so many of the other attractions throughout the community, World War II Museum, et cetera, that our community gets to benefit from it as well. You don't get to have this kind of world-class facility in a city our size unless you're able to bring in millions of people from other places that can also support these kind of attractions. So our industry, when it comes to the attraction of people to visit us and Audubon, I mean, those two things are completely aligned. Their success requires not only that they provide an excellent service to our community, but also that they're able to attract people from other places that will visit the aquarium and the zoo, spend their dollars supporting it, and then allowing us to maintain it as one of the most impressive zoos and aquarium pairs anywhere in the country. Both of them rank in the top five of their categories across the nation. So that's rare that you have both aquarium and zoo function at such a high level, especially when it's one entity that leads those two facilities.
And I got to imagine that your mission and vision statement is very similar to the convention center as well as Audubon, right?
Absolutely. I think that there is an element of ensuring that what we are doing is bringing value to our local community through the attraction of visitors to our city. And so they provide economic, social, and community benefit by spending their dollars with us. And I think all three of those missions are very much aligned.
You know, we've talked about tourism. We've talked around it a lot, you and I, over the years. I don't know that we've talked directly to it as it relates to why tourism and why it matters to us.
Sure. Yeah. No, I think it's something that you get often different types of responses, right? Sometimes people say, who wants more tourists here? Tourists can be sort of a negative connotation at times. I think for the city of New Orleans and really for cities across the country and the world, it's been, you know, people have determined that having a great place to live and work also makes a place an interesting place to visit, especially when it's a city like ours made up of so many creative people, so many interesting people doing amazing things when it comes to food, architecture, music, culture in general. But what we're really trying to do is attract those dollars to support our community. And so when we bring in major events, when you think about an event like Taylor Swift, or you think about an event like the American Dental Conference, or you think about any of these events where large amounts of people are coming to the community and spending significant amounts of dollars to support that community, it's job creation first and foremost. It's business activity. And so the people who own and invest in growing their businesses can benefit from that, in turn can employ people. But it's also tens of millions of dollars in revenue directly to the city of New Orleans, to the state of Louisiana. That helps to pay for things like public safety, infrastructure, and so many other things, particularly with the reworking of some of the financial structures back in 2019 with the Fair Share Agreement, there's now a permanent stream of revenue of about $25 million a year coming directly from visitors who stay in hotels and short-term rentals that are funneling directly to the Sewage and Water Board and to the Department of Public Works to provide upgrades, maintenance, and new capacity projects at both of those entities. So we could always, we of course have other streams of revenue, but a direct $25 million coming straight out of the pockets of visitors and right into the infrastructure of the city. That's not to mention another $25 million or so annually that's going straight to the Orleans Parish School Board out of the pockets of visitors to support public education in our city. So that's just a couple of ways in which the impact is so felt by the economics of visitorship.
Cost-sharing model that we should be very excited about, right?
Sure, yeah, nothing, and like not an easy thing to kind of get right. You know, I mean, there's a desire, of course, to utilize some of those visitor funds to support really important infrastructure. For example, 7 cents of hotel tax goes to the LSED and to the convention center, 4 to the LSED, 3 to the convention center. That supports the bonds that get issued to be able to renovate the Superdome, to be able to renovate the convention center. And when it comes to stadiums, I think it's really interesting. The data shows that more than 70% of the people who utilize the Superdome are locals, but 100% of the financing to support the building, construction, maintenance, and upgrades of it comes from visitors. And so while only 30% of the visitors that are coming to the Dome and using it for these events are visitors, they're funding 100% of the operations as well as the capital costs associated with it, which is a great model. You know, I tell people it's everybody locally's favorite tax dollar is that tax dollar that's coming out of the pocket of somebody from somewhere else. And exactly. If we didn't have that visitorship, you'd have to be – locals would be coming out of pocket to support that stadium. Locals would be coming out of pocket to support the convention center to be able to create this economic activity that is created. So it's a really good model that allows visitors to invest in our community when they come here and spend money, and in turn for us to upgrade infrastructure so we can continue to compete with cities all over the nation who are trying to take what we have, which is take our conferences, take our sporting events, take business away from us. There's only so much to be had. We want as much as we can get, and so does every other city. So it's a very strong model.
So we are on the countdown. I think it's 88 days to the Super Bowl, and I know you guys are intimately involved. Give us an update as to what you're seeing.
Well, obviously, we're still seeing so much excitement throughout the community. It's great to see sort of the rallying of the city, the state, and so many others coming together to make some upgrades and to infrastructure, to look at quality of life issues, whether it's public safety, homelessness, or other things, to really try to improve things for our city as we lead up to a big event like that. We know that we're going to have more than 6,000 credentialed media in town to cover this event. We obviously want them reporting out their wonderful experience in our city. Just this past weekend, we had 26 journalists from all over the world that we hosted. Tight schedule starting, I believe, Thursday night, leading all the way through the weekend. They actually finished up with the Saints-Falcons game with the Saints victory. They got to see the Superdome and the renovations. They got to hear about our community and what we're doing to prepare. And they walked away really excited. There's already been some articles posted by Forbes and some other publications about how fantastic our city is and how exciting it is as we lead up to Super Bowl. So we're already hosting media. We know that that's just going to intensify as time goes on. Otherwise, we've got exciting things like Impact 59, which is rolling out. That's the Super Bowl 59 legacy program that Entergy is leading to ensure major investment in nonprofits across the community. So awards of $3 million will be spread around to various groups working on things like youth development, workforce training, education, health and wellness, equity and inclusion. That's very exciting, and that'll leave a long-term impact beyond significant revenue that we expect to generate off of this event, as well as the infrastructure improvements that will last for decades and improve quality of life for people here. So a lot of excitement around it, a lot of excitement around telling the story of New Orleans.
Well, you talk to hoteliers, you're talking to restaurant owners. I talk to some of the same folks, and they tell me it's already booking up fast. And it's like the floodgates, they said, kind of opened like 2 weeks ago for whatever reason, and they just noticed a lot of activity.
We've been fielding a lot more calls. You know, of course, there's so much that gets planned well in advance. I think we're getting to that time period where you've got corporate groups and other groups who are now really digging in on specifics, what types of events they want, what venues they need. Hotel rooms are absolutely difficult to come by. I mean, there's just not availability. I've talked to some hoteliers, and they have wait lists of people that are A-list celebrities. You know, I mean, these names that they've shared with me are just so high profile, and the fact that they're on waiting lists for hotel rooms tells you just how tight the hotel market is in our community. It's going to be an exciting time for the industry, for the city, to be able to showcase. But there's going to be a lot of people working really hard to make it happen. And hotels are among those. Restaurants are among those. Venues are among those. Of course, our creatives, musicians, and our chefs, and so many of the people that are working day in and day out, they'll be working really, really hard for the next 88 days to get ready and then to put on a world-class event. But I'm so confident that at the end of this, we're going to get similar reviews as we generally do, which is there's just no place like New Orleans to do this event, and just excited to get to that point.
Has there been any posting of additional numbers in the aftermath of the Eras Tour and what that has meant to the city?
We know that from a hotel rate standpoint, which is data that's most readily available, that records were broken and set. So prior to this, hotel rates during the Final Four in 2022 were a record. This really obliterated that record by over $150 a room night. Exceptionally high, and I think similar reports anecdotally from restaurants, retail outlets, and other businesses across the community, including businesses in Jefferson Parish and in surrounding areas. But we're actually starting to dig in a little bit. We're hoping to do a more formal economic impact study so we can really get our arms around it. It was massive, and you know, the feedback that we're getting from customers, from people that we work around the country, continues to be so positive. We know that some of the value of it is almost incalculable because you can't really calculate reputation. And this really improved our reputation as a family destination, improved our reputation for public safety and other things. And I think there's going to be a real payoff for that as time goes on as well.
Absolutely. Got to get to a break. We are visiting with Walt Leger, President and CEO of New Orleans & Company. If you've got a question or a text, send it to 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Walt Leger, President and CEO of New Orleans & Company. We've been talking about a lot of things going on. We're, you know, Walt, almost halfway through the month of November. I don't know where the fall has gone, but I mean, it seems like we're just blowing through these days. But we got a lot coming up between now and the first week of December.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I feel the same way. I just can't get over that it's already November the 13th. It's wild. But yeah, we've got it's been a great fall, and hopefully the weather's going to start cooling a little bit. But exciting things happening. We've got just a couple of days ago, Prospect 6 New Orleans kicked off. This is an incredible exhibition. Happens every 3 years in the city of New Orleans, where artists are invited to create projects across the city. We've got exhibitors from New Orleans, but also across the United States and even around the world, with artists from Haiti, Kenya, Philippines, Vietnam, South Korea, and elsewhere, displaying public art. You know, the Hellas Foundation's big supporters of that and big supporters of the arts, especially public art projects across the community. This Prospect program just allows there to be another elevation of public art. And it's an important thing for cities and for communities. We're fortunate to have something like this going on. And so that'll actually be happening through February 2nd. So right, that'll be now all the way up until the week before Super Bowl. This weekend, we've got LunaFest. LunaFest's turned into a really great event year in and year out that the Arts New Orleans, the previous Arts Council, is really the head of, but we're big supporters of financially and otherwise. It's a free event that showcases contemporary art, but also provides that really unique visual technology that projects on to physical structures. And this year will be returning to its home at Gallier Hall and to the Piazza d'Italia, transforming New Orleans downtown into an amazing light show and art show, with a lot of local artists having booths and other things to be able to promote and sell their products as well. So free event downtown this weekend. I hope people get out and be a part of it.
Absolutely. And then right on the heels of that, we get into the Thanksgiving holidays, and Bayou Classic is back, the 51st anniversary.
Amazing, right? 51st. It wouldn't be Thanksgiving week without that. So we've got Grambling and Southern coming in again, two prominent universities in our state that always bring a great group of people to the city. Fan Fest, Parade, Greek Show, Battle of the Bands, and then the Black Business Showcase, which is an important economic development gathering as well to create some opportunities for networking and business development. So really excited to have them again. The end of November also means the beginning of Celebration in the Oaks over at City Park. We were able to bring some of our journalists, by the way, over to City Park during this recent Super Bowl visit this past weekend. And whenever we're able to do that, they just walk away so amazed at that park and all of the things that are in it, the beauty of it, the sculpture garden, the New Orleans Museum of Art, the Children's Museum, just so many great things for our community. And we really enjoy being able to show people things that are a little surprising to them and maybe not as known outside of our region. And the media was really impressed with it, so it was exciting to showcase that. They'll have Celebration in the Oaks, of course, and that's always great this time of year to get ready for that.
Absolutely. And then we get into Christmas with Holidays New Orleans Style starts off as well.
Yep, Holidays New Orleans Style is our opportunity to sort of organize how we're promoting downtown and the French Quarter in general. Encourage people to get out and check out some of those Revillon dinners that restaurants have really everywhere across the city. Our website will have a lot of information about that as we continue to get closer. We'll also have information about special hotel deals that we call Papa Noel hotel deals that allow people to come in. We know that people around the state love to come in during the holiday season to check out all the beautiful lobbies of our hotels, eat some of these special menus at restaurants across the city. And this year, again, we hope we'll come in for the Children's Hospital Health, LCMC Health Christmas Parade. So we've done this the last couple of years. Last year we got a little rain. This year we're hoping for great weather. But this is a really cool, you know, Mardi Gras style Christmas parade that makes its way through downtown and is a great way to kick off the holiday celebration. So we know people will want to come in, will be a part of it, shop in our retail outlets, stay in our hotels, eat in our restaurants, and be a part of really one of the greatest times of the year in New Orleans, the holiday season.
Walt, I got a text here from a guy named Big Donnie. Said he wanted to tell you hello. Yeah, stay safe. Stay safe.
Hey, Big Donnie. Good to hear from you.
Well, you guys, there was a release about a new study that pulled 250, the top 250 conventions in the country that meet only in 20 cities, and we finished way up the list. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this was great to see. You know, we got this. There's a group that started this study. They call it the top 250, and they look at the 250 largest meetings that are happening across the country in a given year. There are only about 20 cities that can really compete for those, but they're the top tier destinations: Chicago, Las Vegas, Nashville, Atlanta. We were up there this year. We finished third, only behind San Diego and Orlando. Last year in 23, we were tied for third with San Diego. But these are the people we want to be competing with. So best of the best, for us to be at the top of the list is fantastic. It means that we are continuing to compete with cities with the greatest infrastructure, with the greatest attractions, and that are hosting the most complex meetings. We're gonna fight to be number one, of course, but we always want to find ourselves at the tops of these lists, and we want to continue to be competitive. So it's exciting to see that the work that's being done by our sales team, in partnership with the sales teams of all the hotels, in partnership with the sales team at the convention center, and of course in partnership with all of the hospitality businesses and workers throughout the community, is competing at an elite level. That's where we want to be. That's where we want to continue to be. And it's great to see the events coming, continuing to come, and us winning. You know, I mean, that's the goal, and it's good to see that coming to fruition.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. I did not realize that there was this group of 20, right, that could really host these big meetings. I don't know why I always thought it was more than that, but when I think about, you know, the cities and the size and what it takes, and I got to imagine we're probably one of the smaller cities of that 20, right?
I would wager we are the smallest. I think we are probably the smallest by far. And that list of 20 is going to continue to expand. There are literally billions of dollars of investments being made across the country right now in convention center expansion, in convention center renovation, and in new convention center buildings that are going to create more cities to compete. So cities like Austin that haven't typically been in that sphere, it's been a great city to visit, but not necessarily a major competitor for big conferences and big events. They're going to have a brand new convention center, and they're going to make their way into this competition. Nashville, still emerging as a major convention hotspot, is added 7,000 hotel rooms over the last 5 years, and they're looking at expansion for their convention center, which will make them more competitive. And of course, they're building a new stadium, which will bring in Super Bowls and college football playoffs and other things into the mix as well. So that list will continue to expand, but it used to be five or six cities. Then it grew to 20, and it'll continue to grow because people see the economic value of it. They recognize the competition is fierce, and they're making investments to compete. And we're going to have to be in a position to continue to compete as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. But in the 20, Walt, I mean, the offerings that this city has really, and you've said this before, that you guys are punching above your weight all the time. And that seems to be alive and well and healthy, right? I mean, I was was visiting with a restaurateur the other night. They opened another restaurant in the Warehouse District, and then I find out three more are opening in the Warehouse District. I mean, it's like, where are they going? And it's amazing. Every time I go down there, there's new restaurants.
Yep, ever expanding, and that's exciting. You know, I mean, we want people to not just visit, but we want them to visit and then make plans to come back. And oftentimes that means you got to offer them something new, you know what I mean? And that's what cities are doing. Of course, they keep reinventing themselves, and we have to continue to evolve and add new attractions, new restaurants, and new things that make people want to come back and visit us. But yeah, the cities that are out there competing, those numbers are just growing as this industry continues to grow. We do have unique offerings, though, and it allows us to compete at a level that we probably have no business competing at. That is because we are such a unique city with such unique people and doing so many interesting things from a creative standpoint. So, you know, it's one thing to go to a convention or conference in Columbus, Ohio, where they have nice new hotels and a very nice convention center. A lot of universities and other things happening there, a thriving, you know, diverse business community. But, you know, frankly, it's just not as interesting and as exciting as having that meeting in New Orleans. And so that's what we're selling, right? We're selling the adventure and the culture and the celebration outside of the professionalism of the meeting, the efficiency and the functionality of the infrastructure. That all comes first, but once you've established that you can be excellent at producing the meeting, what else do you have to sell? That's where the rest of our unique assets come into play, and that's what makes us competitive.
Absolutely. All right, we got to get to a break. We'll be back with Walt Leger and his final thoughts. He's the president and CEO of New Orleans & Company. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Walt Leger, president and CEO of New Orleans & Company. Walt, in your final comments, I know that we have this tax reformation going on in special session in Baton Rouge, and I was looking at the laundry list of things that they're talking about incorporating and allowing local government and state government to tax. A lot of it has to do with the tourism industry. Any concerns there?
Yeah, well, whenever you've got these kind of wholesale efforts, it can be concerning. And there are certainly some services in there, whether it's photography or meeting planning or event planning or other things that are currently being considered. We've been certainly communicating with the legislature about things that we think either create unfair competition with other cities or other states, and hopeful that there'll be some adjustments throughout. I think also hopeful that things like the historic tax credit and the film credit will be preserved. I understand there may be some changes, but ultimately those are two that really are impactful for us. The historic architecture of our community is something that is world-renowned and celebrated, and the historic tax credits have been utilized to rebuild our community and since Katrina in a way that is leading the nation. We leverage those tax credits more than any other state, so we're hopeful that'll be protected. Of course, a more than billion-dollar film industry, which also aids in attracting people to visit our community because the films and TV productions are often paint such a great picture of our community, not just New Orleans, but our state, and make people internationally want to be here and visit. So we have some concerns, but also some confidence that with working with the administration, with the legislature, that a lot of those things are going to get worked out, and hopefully they'll implement some changes that have been a long time coming and make us a more attractive place to do business and help to diversify the economy a bit.
Yeah, I hope so as well, because I think a lot of the things that you just talked about is how we're able to punch above our weight, right?
Well, no doubt, when you think about being the leading historic preserving state in the nation, you want to stay at the top of that list. And then, two, when you talk about being one of the top producers of film, only behind L.A., New York, and Atlanta, you want to stay at the top of that list, too. So hate to see those industries that are so important be impacted negatively. I think, as I said, I'm hopeful and I believe that those things are going to get protected and preserved, although there's a lot of work left to be done. Excited to see if some of these income tax proposals can be achieved and hopeful that that they'll balance things out and stabilize things, move us up the list of places to do business as well.
Absolutely. Walt, as always, we appreciate your time, your insight. Best of luck to you and your team, and keep up the great work. We truly appreciate it.
Appreciate you so much. Thank you, Noel. Have a great one.
All righty, folks. That's Walt Leger, president and CEO of New Orleans & Company. Scoot's headed your way. We'll check in with him when we come back. Stay with us. Scoot's up next, and he joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
We're going to talk about this phrase that's going around social media. It represents the extremes. It does not represent American men. It represents some. But this phrase, your body, my choice. What does that mean? We'll talk a little bit about that. Also, there's a cruise company that is giving you an opportunity to escape the Trump administration by offering a cruise around the world for the next 4 years. It's rather pricey, but you'll be on a ship for 4 years if you want to totally escape the Trump administration. So we'll talk a little bit about that.
Scoot's up next. Got a great lineup coming your way, folks. Stay with us. Hope you have a great evening.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.